Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. This episode of Coach P's Perspective is brought to you by Manscaped, the world champion in men's grooming, the best in men's grooming. For me, I've always believed as an athlete and as a coach, if you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform good. So I like to turn to Manscaped products. I use their shampoo, body wash, deodorant, lip balm, cologne. You name it, they pretty much have it, right? World-class trimmers. And one of the things I love about Manscaped is this. Whenever we're looking at their grooming products, they are paraben-free, cruelty-free, dye-free. If I'm going to put it on my body, I want to make sure it's healthy and I want to make sure I smell good, right? So if you or someone you know wants to stay fresh, smell fresh, you want to walk out there with confidence, make sure that you go to manscaped.com, check out their products. And you can get a 20% discount right now using the code COACHP20. That is COACHP20. The world champions, the best in men's grooming, Manscaped. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. Today I have on Sean Lake, who is the co-founder of Bubs. If you've heard of Bubs Collagen, Bubs Naturals, those of us who are out in the fitness world, me personally, I love it. I want to get Sean on. I was like kind of researching, looking through the company a little bit because it's a product I really like. And he is a super interesting guy. I can't wait to get in this conversation, but a little bit about his background. Sean was a pro athlete, professional snowboarder. Actually was a team manager for Sean White. I'm sure most of us out here know who Sean White is. Spent time as a director of sports marketing for DC Shoes. He's been involved in the X Games, all kinds of stuff. He's also a husband, a father, a fitness guru, loves to work out, which is one of my greatest passions as well. So Sean, thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This is great.
You bet. So well, let's do this for our listeners. Tell us about your background, man. Where'd you grow up at? Maybe some of the sports you did and then how you got into snowboarding.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you get raised and you're put into sports, and I immediately, at a very young age, kind of discovered the things I was kind of good at, not good at, and, you know, I think to a large degree, I played baseball when I was a little kid, and I was horrible. We're talking like the bench warmer, sucking at 8 years old. I couldn't throw a ball well, like I just didn't have like good mechanics, and my dad, you know, my parents are Canadian. So the sports that they brought into the home at a young age, my dad had played collegiate hockey. But it was like tennis. They were big tennis players. So they didn't care about throwing a ball. So it wasn't like I was in the backyard tossing the ball back with my dad. It was like, no, on a Saturday I would go and he would go play tennis and I'd be given a tennis ball in a corner and just go figure it out. So, you know, they threw me into Little League because that was a thing. And I flamed out immediately. Hockey, almost the same thing. Like it just was an afterthought. And I think both my parents were working in the 70s. So it wasn't like you had nannies taking you to the practices and really investing in sport the way it is today. It's a completely different structure. Yeah. So I just kind of like fumbled along and was just never great. And I didn't have that encouragement to excel into those team sports. And I was always kind of trying, like just never really panned out. So I go into my teenage years and, you know, I wasn't going to make the soccer team. I wasn't going to make the baseball team. I wasn't going to make the football team. And I had tried, like, you know, I tried to do the things. I was so far off the back of having played enough to have the skill sets that didn't really line up. And then I discovered swimming, track, and all of a sudden I had these sports that were based on individual effort. And I really kind of locked in on that. And I didn't think about it like strategically. It was just like, hey, if I go and run a mile, that's me and my feet in the mile. And I wasn't as dependent on my teammates, and which was interesting because you are in the sense of cheering and practice and there's camaraderie. But at the end, the effort was you and maybe whoever you're competing against. And I noted that in swimming as well. And I really locked in on those types of sports. That led me to skateboarding. Part of being a little bit of, you know, maybe a team misfit and not really fitting into like your main popular sports is that you kind of find yourself on that edge of that counterculture. And I definitely found myself there. Like as a 14-year-old kid, I was like, well, you know, I'm not on these big teams. You know, I like these guys over here. They accept me for who I am or whatever the teen angst stuff that you're going through. And I discovered skateboarding. And this is in the 80s, like to put some context out there for folks. This isn't like skateboarding today where skateboarding is as popular as Little League baseball. This was in the 1980s when like, if you were a skateboarder, you were a total social outcast. And I was raised in suburban Massachusetts. So I was raised in Gloucester and then my family moved up to Winchester, which is just outside of Boston. So here I am locked in on these little individual sports. We were kind of the nerd sports, if you will. And I found my home there. And then skateboarding was an outlet. And because I lived in Massachusetts, you know, it snows a good chunk of the year. I discovered snowboarding. And man, you want to talk about passion? I immediately locked in on it. I felt great about it. I'd been introduced to skiing earlier in my life. So I felt good about it. And it was just the passion button, like where some people feel great about wrestling or they feel great about basketball. I enjoyed all those sports and activities, but snowboarding was like, it just lit my world up. From a creativity, a challenge, I wanted to improve. I just found something I was incredibly passionate about and that had been missing. So snowboarding became it, man. Everything I could do to get on a snowboard, if I had to pass a test to be able to go skiing, I would study for that test. When I was go to college, I was trying to pick schools with the lens of like, well, where are the closest ski resorts? not the best criteria, mind you, for college, but you know, I wanted that access and that drive, and it lit me up. And I mean, I'm 51 years old now, and I look forward to snowboarding with the same enthusiasm I had when I was 15.
It's what's beautiful about when you find the thing that lights you up, right? Your passion. And I often tell my athletes, I tell the parents, you know, we want it to be the kid's journey. Like once they make it their own journey, like we no longer have to prod them, push them. Now we can just guide them. Sometimes we even got to kind of pull them back, right? So once you, and I think that's for anything in life. I mean, if you are a husband, a father, if you're a CEO of a company, whatever it is, man, when you find something you're passionate about and it becomes your journey, you're willing to do the things that it takes to get great at that, to continue to perfect your craft. So it's awesome to be able to hear that and to know that, like, hey, when somebody gets really good at something, like it takes a lot of work, but also there's a lot of passion that's placed right behind that as well.
Yeah, it comes naturally. Like you want to do it. And, you know, I'll say that does apply, especially in the work life, because, you know, the athletic career, you know, it has its lifespan on a higher level, but then you still have the work ethic and the passion and the drive to pour yourself into that next project. And whether it's personal or professional, those are, you know, those are great things to tap into and keep in mind, because the energy that I have for solving problems at Bubs are every bit as energetic as whatever I dealt with in the snowboard industry. You know, I love it. I want it to succeed. I believe in it. And so when you're dealing with, you know, weird supply chain issues or legal stuff or contract reviews, you're good with it because you know, like you're driving the ball forward to a better place.
Yeah. Now tell me, how did you get involved with like Burton Snowboards and then becoming Sean White's team manager? Tell me how did that all fall into place?
Yeah. So I'm going to weave in a very important character into this. So I dropped out of college after my freshman year and I moved to Utah with my best buddy, a guy named Glenn Doherty, and my older brother Guy. And we all went out there just to kind of ski bum for the year. Now, I had bigger plans. I wanted to become a professional snowboarder. So I was 19. I knew I loved it. I was hell-bent on becoming a professional snowboarder. Now, I had no idea what that would entail. there was no roadmap of the X Games didn't exist, contest didn't really exist. It was just what you would find in magazines. Because remember, this is in the early 1990s. So you had VHS tapes and print magazines. But I was like, I want to be in those magazines. I want to do what those guys are doing. And my best buddy, Glenn, went out there and he was a really good skier. And he said, you know, I want to be a sponsored skier. Like, that sounds like a great career choice. So imagine all of our parents, by the way, being absolutely horrified as their kids are all dropping out of college to go move to the mountains and be ski bums. But that was it. You know, my brother took off the next year. He went back to school. He kind of knew what his path was going to be. And you know, Glenn and I stuck it out. And after 2 years, I got some endorsements, started to get some free product and a travel budget. And all of a sudden I'm in those magazines. And I kind of fought my way through to make the right connections and, you know, just pour yourself into what you love, which was snowboarding. So in my case, it wasn't freestyle snowboarding. It was big mountain riding. So it was cliffs and big lines and, you know, go scare the heck out of yourself, jumping off something ginormous and hope the photographer gets a photo or the videographer, you know, gets a shot of you. And it worked out. Now, Glenn was an amazing skier, but didn't really work out for him. So that passion, like I poured it in and that was it. That was my calling. So Glenn and I sit down and we're turning 25, we're like 24 years old. And we're kind of like looking around us and saying like, all right, what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, like good life check conversation. All of our buddies had graduated college. Excuse me. All of our buddies had like kind of advanced ball. Like they were married. They were in the career path. And then you got Glenn and me, and we're like painting houses in the summer. He's a river guide, you know, doing kayak trips. And we're kind of like, you know, can't do this forever. And so I made the decision for myself. I'm going to go back to school and knock out my degree. I'd done a little research and I realized, hey, I can go to school in the fall. I can go to school in the summer and I can burn out my degree. And then I've got my whole winter wide open so I can do the snowboarding thing and travel and film and contest or whatever. And Glenn didn't make it as on the skier side. So he's like, you know what? You go back to school. That's a good plan for you. I think I'm going to join the Navy and become a Navy SEAL. And I'm like, wait, what? Now, yeah. Got to remember, this is like 1995. So there's not a lot of material about becoming a Navy SEAL. It was an inspiration for him. It was a challenge for him to see what he was made of. So, you know, next thing you know, I'm driving him to the recruiter. A year later, I'm going to his bud's graduation. And all of a sudden, my best buddy, who, you know, I chopped it up with since we were, you know, 12 years old, is a Navy SEAL. And his best buddy is a shaggy haired pro snowboarder hanging out in Utah. So very eclectic mashup of communities that we were all really, you know, I loved it. And I wrapped up my college degree around age 30. I was done snowboarding. There was this new generation coming in that was a hell of a lot better than I was. And it was time to, you know, to hand over the reins. So I remember like walking away from all my sponsors. I had a plan in my head of what I was going to do next. I wanted something based on adventure. So I was going to join the State Department. My whole plan was to become a security agent with the State Department. And I couldn't take the civil service exam till the fall. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of that winter, when I was just a free agent, I was waiting tables at a restaurant, got my degree, and I get a phone call to go work for Burton Snowboards. And the job was to move to San Diego, become Sean White's team manager, and switch to the industry side. And, you know, I looked at it, I said, well, you know, I'm not sure that's for me. And then I realized, like, wait a minute, all the lessons I learned as an athlete, I can now apply on the business side. I can actually take this in and make sure that the Sean Whites or the other athletes that I work with are really well taken care of, because I know what worked well for me and I know what I loved and I know what I didn't love. So let's keep those things in mind. And I poured myself into the marketing role there. I always refer to Burton Snowboards as grad school. You learn so much about business and so much about like the life cycle of the industry. And it was phenomenal. And that was a jumping board into working with ESPN on the X Games. Then I got hired into DC Shoes as a, you know, marketing director for a handful of sports. It was surfing, snowboarding, motocross, BMX. So I had the stable of sports, and the passion was always there because I still had that one foot in snowboarding, this world that I loved and just had the ultimate respect for. So it was phenomenal. And it was a, next thing you know, 10 years goes by, my best buddy's down in, you know, down in San Diego with SEAL Team 3 and, you know, letting it rip whenever we can.
That's crazy. It's a wild story. And like you said, the, how it's so eclectic, right? Not just because of you guys, the difference is, right? Him like being a SEAL now, like you said, you know, you're like the shaggy haired snowboarder, but just the journey, which to me is awesome because I think things are diversifying these days, especially, but for so long in America, we kind of have this, like, hey, you graduate high school, then you go to college or maybe a tech school, then you go right into the work field and then like get that job and suck it up, whether you like it or not. And that's the job that you work, you know? And then of course, over the last decade, millennials, I guess, have kind of changed that as people start to shift and get more and more jobs over a lifetime. But like you said, it wasn't a straight path and not everybody
no.
be on a straight path, right? So I even just thought, okay, you had this thought process of like, I can go to school, like, you know, in the fall, in the summer, whatever, during the winter time, I can go and, you know, do my snowboarding. I'm like, that never even occurred to me. Like nowadays, I think, because I have a lot of my athletes that go wrestle in college and there's so many more options for summer school online and things like that. But like when I was going to college, I was a college athlete. And so it was literally like, hey, they're paying for my school. So I'm going fall, winter, spring, summer's off, right? Because they wouldn't be paying for summer school. So it never even crossed my mind to do it differently, you know? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it is funny. Like I never thought of it that way, right? Like I just thought of it as like, how do I make this work for me? And I, you know, how do I not reshape it? But I'm like, well, hold on a second. If I can go summer semester and get a full amount of credit, what's the sacrifice I have to make and what's on the other side of that? Well, the sacrifice is I don't get to rip around with my friends all summer. I got to study. Okay. I get to rip around all winter, which is way more important and way more fun for me. So lock and load all summer long. I'll be the boring guy who's got to study all the time. And then fall's fall. Like everyone's, you know, that's a normal time to be in school. But then I get this huge, like 5 month break that I can just go all in on what I truly love. So it was worth it. And, you know, I was lucky enough to at the University of Utah where they had a program that I could accomplish that. And I could pursue my degree and knock it out. So it, to me, it just made perfect sense. Then like the State Department job wasn't based on the fact that I wanted to serve my country in like the traditional sense of being patriotic and serving the military. And like, you kind of have this idea of what that means. I always liked that idea. That was just a table stake. What I liked was if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it with adventure. I'm going to do it in a way that I'm going to come home with great stories. And, you know, I wanted that same energy that I got out of snowboarding in a different career path. The Burton opportunity kind of had those elements of, hey, you're going to travel around the world. Someone else is going to pay for it. You're going to still be riding a snowboard. Sounds pretty good. And you're going to learn a ton about an industry and then the business side of anything that I knew very little about. I mean, I knew what the marketing machine was as an athlete, but to learn about the production and the cycle of retail and where things go, like that was all new. And there's one other thing I think that probably a lot of your listeners have, and that's a thirst for knowledge.
Yeah.
Whether it's getting better at their particular sport, but you know, you're alive when you're learning. You're alive when you're finding out new things and applying them into your life. So I love that. And so I said yes to the job with Burton. I didn't think it would take me where it took me. Like, you know, Burton ended, ESPN's X Games opened. You know, that rolled into a brief stint working with Tony Hawk. I managed one of his skate park tours and I'm hanging out with like all my childhood idols from skateboarding and I'm their tour manager. And then, you know, for 6 years working at Quiksilver and DC Shoes, like, you know, you're rubbing elbows with some amazing industry leaders and just soaking up what they have to offer. I mean, my boss during that time at DC Shoes, a guy named Ken Block, and Ken is pretty famous for driving race cars now. And he's built a few brands over his, you know, over his years that have just gone on to have huge success. So to be in that shadow, to be in the room, and to be a part of that engine has been awesome. And yes, definitely not a straight path, But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great adventure. As you were talking, it kind of reminded me, there's a guy named Bob Goff. He's written a couple of books that I love, and he's a phenomenal speaker. But Bob Goff kind of sees life as a big adventure, and he's done some amazing things. It's crazy to hear his story as well. But it kind of reminded me of that, the same passion, the same feeling. So let's use this to kind of springboard right into Bubs, man. Like, how did you develop the idea? How did the idea start? How did you jump into the brand? Let's just talk about all of Bubs.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a couple of things that happened. Some not so great and some great. So in 2012, my roommate was Glenn Doherty. So that guy I was talking about, you know, from before, went on, served 10 years in the Navy SEALs. He was down to SEAL Team 3. And after he got out of the Navy, bought a house in Encinitas, which is the town that I lived in. Fast forward another couple of years, we're roommates. And, you know, we would do everything together when he wasn't deployed. So when he got out of the Navy, he started working for the Central Intelligence Agency. He was providing security detail through GRS. And so he'd be home for 3 months, gone for 3 months. So it was a very hard job to have to maintain any kind of normalcy, but the pay was phenomenal. But, you know, like you're picking up and leaving for 3+ months at a time. And then you come home and you kind of reintegrate and then you're gone again. So I had the house where I would hold down the fort. He would come and go. And during that time, I had left DC and I was working on, you know, a variety of different marketing consulting projects. Cause at this point, I'm just a kitchen sink of experiences between events and activations and media. And I'm just having a blast. I'm working for myself and traveling the world and, you know, just enjoying life. And then Glenn would come home and we'd go on snowboard trips and ski trips. And it was just like we're in our 20s all over again. But then the fall of 2012, Glenn was deployed to Tripoli. And he was one of the Navy SEALs who was killed in Benghazi, Libya. So you might remember the movie 13 Hours. There was a congressional hearing and 4 Americans were killed during those terrorist attacks. And Glenn and another Navy SEAL named Tyrone Woods laid down their lives to save all those Americans over there. And it was a very, very Glenn thing to do. Glenn would rush to the fight to save his friends. And that was, you know, he was just there. He was there for his friends. He was there at the end. I was the executor of Glenn's estate. I was his listed next of kin on his paperwork. So my life took a huge shift from this kind of fun-loving, freestyle living way into, hey, a national tragedy has occurred and your best friend, your roommate, and I became kind of central in spiriting Glenn's legacy along with his family and some of his closest friends. So it got serious there. And one of the ways that we wanted to celebrate Glenn's life, and I mean celebrate, not be solemn and memorialize, there was that as well, but Glenn was this larger than life personality. So celebrating his life was super important. Yeah. So we started a foundation called the Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. I didn't know anything about the nonprofit space. You know, I knew how to market sneakers. And all of a sudden we're helping special operators and their families transition from active duty to civilian life, primarily through scholarship. And it was an incredibly satisfying operation to be a part of because you found yourself truly helping someone solve the problem that Glenn hadn't solved for, which was, what do I do next?
Yeah.
After 10 years serving in the US Navy as a Navy SEAL, this special operations professional, he didn't know what was going to come next. And well, let's help the next guy not have that problem. Let's fill gaps in the GI Bill. Let's be a part of the solution, not the problem. And it felt really good. So that's going for a couple of years. The movie 13 Hours comes out. That's all going. And my wife, I'm now married, is considerably younger than I am. And we started having a family. And in 2017, we had a 1-year-old son. She was pregnant with our daughter. And she came home one day and had a jar of collagen protein. And she just put the jar on the table and she said, I want you to start taking this. You're not getting any younger and I need to preserve you. So I still laugh about that because I'm like, yes, dear. What do you mean I'm not getting any younger? Like, I feel great. So the fact is that, you know, I was 45 years old at the time, and, you know, I was going to be the old dad, and I was getting a little slower. And, you know, now at this point, I've got 20 something years of snowboarding, surfing, mountain biking. Glenn and I got really involved in the CrossFit functional fitness space. You know, we were hammering all the time, trying to stay as young as possible, as fit as possible. And that became really just a big part of my life in my 30s. Now my 40s, I'm like, man, I'm starting to slow down. My miles aren't as fast as they used to be. Like, what's going on here? So I start taking this product that my wife bought for me. I just followed the instructions every morning. Heat target protein, you can put it in your coffee. It's unflavored. Okay, it's what the jar said. So I just start going for it. And next thing you know, my fingernails are growing really long. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And I noticed it, you know, and something's happening here. Then I needed a haircut. Something's happening here. And about 2 months into taking the product, my knees, which had been the bane of my existence, stopped hurting. Like, they just had been achy for years. And all of a sudden, I'm hopping out of bed and moving around, and I feel pretty good. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. So I'm like, what the heck's in this stuff? This is some sort of miracle powder. And I just started my journey. I learned more about it. I became really religious about daily supplementation, read whatever blogs were around back then on taking collagen. And I learned that when you've got a good source of bone and cowhide and you combine them with the right enzymes, you can really lift up this amazing amino acid profile, which is in every single protein or BCAA that folks are taking. But in collagen, it's really specific around connective tissue, hair, skin, nails, joints, your muscles, your bone density, your guts, your intestines and how you process food. And it's all in cowhide. So I just became a cowhide guy. I'd stop you on the street and be like, Jed, you got to take this stuff. This is amazing. And you know, a couple months later, a guy named TJ, who's a friend of mine, came over to the house, soon to be business partner, sees the jar of collagen, starts asking me questions about it. And I just start raving about how great it is, how awesome it is. Now, TJ, you know, he's got 20 years of e-commerce experience, Amazon reselling, you know, building, you know, early Yahoo HTML websites, like you name it, he's been in it. And he knew that collagen was a popular growing category. And he just says, hey, let's start a company. And I'm like, yeah, man, I got a 1-year-old with diapers crawling around behind me. I don't think that's a great idea, but I'm always willing to have the conversation. So we sit down, we start talking about it. And we both looked at each other and said, okay, well, you know what? The world doesn't need another collagen brand. But maybe the world needs a brand doing things a little bit different. But what does that look like for us? And we both said at the exact same time, well, whatever we do, we have to do something cool for charity. Opening line, like that was it. And I just laughed. I said, well, I know the charity. It's got to be Glenn's charity. And Glenn's call sign in the Navy was Bub. So we named the company Bub's Naturals as a tribute to Glenn and his way of life. This guy that stood for self-improvement, and he was always helping others. So every product that we make will stand for improving the self, and we'll give 10% of all profits to charitable cause in Glenn's name, like the Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. And we were like, this is awesome. This feels so right. Is it right? So we took the message out. I called a couple of Glenn's teammates at SEAL Team 3 that I was buddies with and his family. And the consensus came back real quick. Glenn would kick your butt if you don't do this. So go get after it. And I didn't know a thing about the supplement industry, other than I didn't really like it. I didn't know a thing about, you know, the nutrition space in a formal sourcing kind of way. It was go figure it out. What I had was an idea that I hadn't been that passionate about since snowboarding. Mm. And here we are 4.5 years later. And, you know, we're starting to figure it out, I think.
Yeah. Well, you guys, from what I see on the outside, are crushing it. I very first heard about Bubs. I was listening to, I love to listen to other podcasts, right? So I love to take in knowledge and learn, like you were saying earlier. Functional fitness is one of my greatest passions. It's what I do, and it's what all my athletes train in. And anyway, so, and I'm 44, wrestled my entire life, and your body gets beat up. So I was listening to Todd Durkin podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And this was a couple of years back, and he was like, hey, not even sponsored by these guys, but you should take Bubs Collagen. It's amazing. And talking about them, talking about, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to try some of this stuff. So got it, took it for a while, felt good. But at that point, I don't think I was having as many joint issues and stuff as I currently have. It's a couple of years back. And anyway, so long story short, I decided not long ago, you know what, man, I need to get back on collagen. Like my joints are feeling beat up, and I still train really hard. And so started taking Bubs again, start feeling good again. And then I was like, I'm going to look into the company a little more. Right. And so one of the things I've had a number, actually, I did like a whole entire, like a special season here on special operators, have a couple buddies that are in spec ops. And so had some Navy SEALs on, had some guys from different areas come on. But that was one of the things that I initially loved about it when I very first started taking Bubs and found out about it, was like, hey man, these guys are helping a foundation that helps Navy SEALs, right? So because of that, because there's a charity, and I didn't know the whole backstory on Glenn or any of that, but I knew that, hey, that's a good thing. It's something I can get behind. And it's kind of funny, as you were just talking. So my dad fought in Vietnam. One of his cousins was killed really early in Vietnam, and he was Big Bub. And then my dad was Little Bub. Everyone called him Little Bub. So I hadn't even really made that connection until you were just talking about that. So everyone called my dad Bub. Yeah. So now I have an even deeper connection with the.
That's
with the
awesome. That's awesome.
Not about till just now. So anyway, man, that is awesome. I love supplementation. I love clean eating. I think people should do that, right? And the big thing is, like, not even how you look physically, man, but how you feel. You want to be able to function. You want to be able, if you have children, to be active with your children. But no matter what it is, if you want to be good at something, no matter, I mean, like if you're the CEO of a company, if you're, you know, digging rocks because you do landscaping for a living, which we did a lot when I was growing up, it starts with your health. You got to feel good. If your body feels good, then you're going to be able to perform well. That's all there is to it.
Look good, feel good, and, you know, perform good. And that physical, I 100% believe translates to the mental game. It translates to your emotional game, and you're just better. You've got better energy, better focus. You've got better everything if you come with a certain level of physical preparedness. And I learned that in my 30s. I actually, you know, I went through snowboarding, which is not, at that point, it wasn't a highly athletic endeavor. Like, there weren't guys really training at the gym, doing a lot of off-season stuff. This was in the 90s, so it was definitely a lot more of a mixed bag. I fell out of training a little bit in my 30s, you know, just working and not caring, because I never was a formal gym guy before prior to that. And I remember being a little bit schlubby, and Glenn, he was active duty, like just ripped, and he came home from one of his deployments, and we kind of caught up, and he's just like, we're going to the gym. And then he starts giving me these programs to follow. And this is in like 2004, 2005. And all of a sudden, like, I just get bit with the bug. And I'm like, oh, this is good. This is better. And I just felt better. And I'm like, man, if I go and sit on a rowing machine for 30 minutes, I feel better.
Yes.
Why wouldn't I? So it just, you know, it's just logical. And I've been into it ever since, you know. And I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's just like, this feels right. Go do it. You're going to perform better. Go do it. And I've taken that with me and just kind of built on it ever since. And so, hey, look, if you got a window, use it. If you don't have a window, make the window. And it's not hard. I mean, you know what it's like in functional fitness. You can do an absolute hammer of a workout in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's including getting warmed up if you're a little bit older. So it's what you make of it. You know, we all have choices. And, you know, if you're at that starting point in fitness, it's maybe not the same thing that like I'm going to do or you're going to do, but you can do something and you can elicit a physical response that becomes a foundation to build on and build on and build on. And guess what? You're going to be a better husband, wife, worker, parent, whatever the heck you want to do in life, it's just going to get better. So why not? And the nutrition side, oh my God, like I was never really a garbage dump in the kitchen. So I could eat whatever I wanted to and always felt good. But the more I learned about tuning that up, you know, it's just, it's a great complement to an exercise routine. Like, oh, if I eat well, I'm actually going to do better in the gym too. And guess what? Good food tastes good. So why not? And learning about nutrition, like learning about collagen and like opening my mind to what that does, what MCT oil does for you. Like, I never knew about coconut oil broken into a medium chain triglyceride and that it was amazing for energy and it was amazing for cognitive function. But now that I know that, there's no going back. So it's a brave new world if you just start looking around and asking some questions and realize that you can live to your fullest potential. It just takes a little bit of dialing in. It's not, you know, it's not monumental life changes. It's just commitment.
Absolutely. You mentioned mindset a minute ago, and I'm going to come back to that because it's so huge in everything we do. And I want to connect mindset and some principles for success. But before we do, you mentioned the MCT oil. So I've never really been a coffee drinker. I've tried to be a coffee drinker in the past, like just couldn't. I'm big in nutrition, have some other kind of pre-workout stuff that I think is fairly healthy that I've always drank before. But anyway, I recently started getting coffee beans, grinding them myself, kind of going down that path. But throwing my collagen in there, throwing my MCT oil in there. And I love it. Right. So I just feel really, really good afterward. It's allowed me to finally like coffee and figure out a way to drink coffee in a way that, so let's talk about this. You guys have your collagen, you have your MCT oils, and you have your apple cider vinegar gummies. So tell us a little bit about those so that people who are listening understand the other products that you guys have.
Yeah. Well, I want to start with kind of a table stake on, I guess when we decided we were going to go to market, we wanted to make sure that we had quality points of difference with like kind of the sea of products that are out there. We were very aware that, you know, there was already 50 collagen brands. So what can we do to elevate the differences of our brand? One of them was giving 10% of all profits to charitable cause. That's an unheard of in the supplement space. It's an incredibly uncharitable world. And we were definitely shaking things up there. The second was NSF certification for sport. So we're NSF for sport for all of our collagen. And that was really done because I knew that we were going to go after collagen at the highest level. We're single sourced. So unlike other brands that blend from different sources, we have one source, one supplier, full traceability. And that's my way of making sure that Glenn's name going on the jar, the Bub's name, always carries that highest level of quality. And I wanted that consistency and quality because if you don't have a good experience with a product, you're not going to come back. You know, if it tastes gross, you're out. You know, it's not an adoptable habit. But if you can make sure that it's seamlessly woven into your daily routine, you're in. So that was the collagen. Then we went after something totally different from your typical, you know, kind of health wellness space in with NSF for sport. We chased down the Whole 30. So we're also Whole 30 approved. So here we are, we're Whole 30 approved for collagen. We're NSF certified for sport, 10% of profits to charity, and single sourced. We got these four things going on that other brands just can't claim. All right, feel really good about that. Took the exact same approach on MCT oil powder. I looked at it and the first time I had experience with it, I was like, oh, this is a non-dairy creamer, but it's a creamer with benefits. Yeah. Like, oh, these little gems, these medium chain triglycerides, these MCTs are phenomenal for a long-term energy source instead of sugar, where we all know you spike and crash. And it's also brain food. Like your brain is soaking up and eating those MCTs because your brain can't store energy. It has to, you know, keep things going on that cycle. And then it gets its energy supply, which leads to cognitive function. And then you've got gut health benefits with it as well. Like it's just, it's a great combo. So I look at all those and I say, okay, well, this is exactly where I want to be health-wise. And then when it comes to apple cider vinegar gummies, you know, what does that do? It satiates you. The vinegar has great, you know, health benefits to it for your immune support. And immune support's pretty good. Like you just want that baseline. You get a little kick of energy out of that. And metabolism, just keep things rolling. So the gummies for us were admittedly a little bit of a binge because there's a sweetness to them. It was our first product that wasn't ketogenic friendly because there's a couple grams of sugar in them. And I said, well, but it's adaptable and we can make the best tasting gummy out there for apple cider vinegar. And if you've ever taken a slug out of a Bragg's apple cider vinegar, great product, but whoo, that's some rough stuff. So yeah, I'm all about something that's going to help me with my metabolism, my digestion, and just keep things moving well. So.
Absolutely. So there's the different products that you guys offer right now. I won't ask if you got anything in the future. I'm sure you guys do as you grow, but I know those
are. Oh, we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a fan, I'll be looking forward to seeing what you guys put out and getting a hold of them. So, well, let's jump over to mindset.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big believer in mindset, right, for my athletes, but then also that like principles are principles. When you know them, then you can apply them multiple places. So what are some of the things that as a professional athlete, as a business owner, and then of course you've been around so many high level people, what are some of the mindsets or the principles you've learned along the way that have helped you or continue to help you today?
You know, so early on in the fitness journey, I was exposed to a local SEAL here in Encinitas named Mark Devine. And Mark Devine owned a gym called SEAL Fit. That was my first exposure to the CrossFit functional fitness world, was joining his gym with Glenn. So, you know, I walk in the door to the gym with a Navy SEAL owned by a Navy SEAL, and I'm just the buddy of a Navy SEAL. And over the next 4 years, you know, really five all in, I learned so much about mindset because Mark just lives mindset. You know, to a degree, there's a certain amount of mindset that just comes. It just comes from your experience. And I would say that's your determination or your passion, right? It's a great foundation. You have to be energetic and love what you do or find a way through that to give yourself that baseline. Well, I had that in the different areas that I was working. And then in the things I didn't like to do, I always had these other buckets I wanted to get to that were fun related. So I knew I had to do the hard work to get to the fun stuff. Well, it's a pretty good carrot, like, kind of like what I talked about going to school, like do this hard work, the reward's waiting for you on the other side. What I realized is that if I set structure around myself, I was setting myself up for success. Like I could spin plates and go in 1,000 different directions, but if I give myself structure and I adhere to that, establish a strong daily routine, I can manage through a lot of things. So early on it was structure. So I start my day in a very similar way every day. There's a couple things that I do baked into my morning. I meditate every morning and I practice a specific type of meditation. It's not this woo-woo hippie crap. It's a Zazen style Japanese active meditation where I'm physically, I'm looking down at a specific object. I'm controlling a breathing pattern and I'm consciously trying to eliminate thoughts from my head. I'm kind of clearing the whiteboard of clutter that's swimming around in the head. And that is a great exercise to then greet whatever's going to happen, all the unknowns and unknowables of your day. You're just setting a baseline. I do that first thing in the morning. I make the bed every morning. Don't care. Make the bed. Get a hit under your belt. And I learned that, and I've heard about the whole Admiral McRaven make your bed thing, and I'm a true believer in it. Just establish a good baseline. So no matter what happens in the day, you've done a couple of things to deposit for success that you can always lean back on. I make a glass of warm lemon water every morning. Kind of balances your pH. I'm a big fan of that. And I try and get my fitness or that personal time and before the kids are awake, if I'm lucky enough to, we have an infrared sauna now. So I'm a huge fan of like just getting a good 20 minute morning bake and try and do all that stuff well before 7 a.m. so that when the kids are up and energized around, I'm all in and can be engaged with them. But that's mindset stuff. Like it's physical things that help establish your mindset. So if the kids go crazy, you're cool with it. You can control that. You're in control of yourself. And if you're in control of yourself, you're going to do better with whatever variables happen during the day. Another thing I learned from Mark Devine early on, I'll give him full credit for this, was box breathing. Yeah. These kind of breathing exercises for stress. Four breaths in, hold for four, four breaths out, hold for four, and that kind of 4 second pattern. And I started doing that in workouts, and the kind of workouts we would do would be very high stress. You know, partner accountability, long chomping time domains, you know, you're up at it for 2+ hours. And you know, you need to keep your head in the game. Injuries happen when you're not paying attention. You know, you're like, you got to like be locked in the moment. And I found that that really helped keep things calm. You know, that the meditation also allows you to do something which I'm always fond of saying is, you can get hit with a situation and you got two immediate things that can happen. You can react like that almost just, you know, lizard brain reaction to what's happening, or you can respond. You can give pause, you can breathe, you can take in just a little bit more data, and your brain can process things really, really fast. And I guarantee you 10 out of 10 times responding to a situation is better than reacting to a situation. You know, unless it's fire, hand, pull away. You know, when you have an opportunity to respond, you're going to be curious about what's happening. You're going to be more thoughtful in how you respond. So if I get a, you know, crazy email from someone and I just fire something back really quick, chances are I didn't read it well. I didn't absorb it. I have no idea what's going on in that person's headspace. So I'm probably not being the best strategic version of myself. But if I can respond better, that's all mindset stuff. I hugely recommend a book for most folks that are entrepreneurs or athletes or are striving to be the best version of themselves, called Driven. It's by Dr. Doug Brackman. And Doug's a friend of mine. I have taken his courses. I have learned an absolute metric ton about myself through that. I learned the whole Zazen meditation from Dr. Brackman. I learned how to respond, not react. You know, exploring the unknown with curiosity instead of judgment. There's just a ton behind that that just allows you to open your mind up and your world up to a variety of possibilities. And it's a better way of doing business. It's a better way of engaging with others. It's better, period. So hopefully that's not too much of a jumble of different things, but start with structure and, you know, and use some of that structure, whatever your routine's going to be, to build on your day and enhance it.
No, that's perfect. Cause I was going to ask you about, you know, your daily habits as well. So that, you know, kind of comes back to the Jocko thing, like discipline equals freedom, right? So whenever you have that structure and that discipline, then you have freedom to do other things that you would like to do. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of box breathing. Learned it from Mark Divine as well. I've, you know, read a few of his books and watched his videos. And
I don't recommend working out with him on a regular basis. He will drive you into the ground. That dude is in his 60s and he's still like, he just gets after it. You know, I worked at his gym. I coached at his gym for a number of years. So, which was always really entertaining when I was the marketing director, you know, for DC Shoes, I was the morning coach at Seal Fit. So I was like kind of wearing these double hats. I loved what he stood for and I loved what he was sharing. And I wanted to be a part of that community. And I coached at his gym on and off for over 4 years.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
I read your backstory of you and your co-founder at Bubs, TJ, with the Seal Fit experience. So
yeah.
You kind of broke him a little bit, I think. And
he asked for it. He asked for it. He asked to come there and walk away with some memories. And we can joke about it now, 8 years later, that I offered those memories for him.
Yeah. that's awesome, man. That is great. And yeah, that's a lot of phenomenal mindset information right there. Daily structure information. And, you know, we should all be trying to respond rather than react. Again, that kind of ties back to the larger principle. Like no matter what it is you're doing in life, that's a better way to go about it right there. And as a coach, as a teacher, I tell you what, early in my career, I had a few of those crazy emails that I didn't think through and I responded or I reacted right on my email. And then with a little wisdom and time, you learn to like read it, think about it, you know, sit on it a little bit and then come back with a better response. Right. And be able to learn from the situation. So, all right. So, hey, as we get ready to kind of close, there's a couple of rapid fire questions I always like to ask. Okay. The first one is this: if you could give yourself any bit of wisdom or advice right now, like not the best advice you've ever received, but if you were to give yourself some advice right now, what would it be?
Advice to myself? Smell the flowers.
Great.
I always move too fast. I still do it now where I'm like, go, and I'm piling stuff up. And every once in a while, you got to put this thing down. That's your phone. And soak it up. Soak up everything that's going on around you. I got a 4 and a 6-year-old kid, and those moments with them are magical. And every time I'm pushing them off, because I feel like I got to respond to some email and, you know, got dive into a work thing, I got to be like, what? This can wait. I can find the time. I can structure my day for this. This is only going to happen for a finite amount of time. Yeah. So, yeah, smell the flowers, man.
Awesome. Love it. All right. I think everybody has, you know, innate or God-given gifts and abilities. And then hopefully, you know, we throughout our life hone those so we can use those as well. But what, and I like to call it your genius. What would you say is your genius?
Whew. I don't feel I have one. But you know, I would say if there's one thing that's always kind of stood out, it's been a common thread throughout my life, has been connectivity, connecting with others and feeling connected with others. So whether I'm working on a partnership on one level with the guys at GoRuck, which I'm working on right now, some awesome stuff there, or I'm over here and I'm trying to stay connected with my wife, that ability, I guess, or that interest in being genuinely interested in those around me. And that's always served well. And I have friends that I've had since I was 12 years old that are still in my life today. So I guess, yeah, I'll leave it at that, connectivity.
All right. Excellent. That's a great form of genius to have. Okay. Last one. You can answer one of these or you can answer all three, expound upon them as much as you want. Tell me about a highlight, a hardship. Okay. So any highlight in any of your life, a hardship in your life or a hero in your life or a little of each.
I mean, you know, on one level, I can take the Glenn idea, right? Glenn was my best friend. Like, you know, we got into messy situations, but damn if he wasn't a hero. And I don't mean just a national hero. I mean a hero to myself and to all of our friends, because he stood for something and he lived it. He walked the walk. And I have definitely pulled inspiration from that. That's a hero. You know, I think you can immediately go to my parents as well for that and the lessons I've learned from them, because I'm not a product of any one experience. I'm a product of cumulative experiences, whether it was learning from my dad. Hardship, I could say, you know, Glenn's death, because that was an incredibly hard time to go through. Experiencing loss and then managing that loss, like being on the business side of the loss, was an incredibly odd experience on the executor side. That also taught me a lot. I came out of that a very different person than I was before. And I'm not going to say I'm grateful for that, because there's still loss involved, but there are lessons that I will apply for the rest of my life from that. Mm-hmm. So that's 2 out of 3. What? Give me the third one again.
Highlight.
Well, I could say any good powder day on a snowboard would be a highlight. simple physical things still stick with me. Like, you know, the perfect wave, flow state, moments that you just sort of hold on to, the perfect golf swing, you know, and we all know what they are. You know, when you hit a golf ball and you can barely even hear the sound, and you know, it just travels in that perfect arc and lands where you want it to be. Or, you know, I'm obviously live in Southern California now, so I'm thinking more about the ocean and those waves or those, just those flow moments. Those are always highlights, because you can dip into that bucket for inspiration if something's not going so well, and it just sort of lights you up a little bit. Simple. But, you know, it works.
No, I love it. Flow state moments are it's one of the reasons why I like to do functional fitness, right? I can just get in this mental space and get into this flow. Yeah, man. And I could feel the ocean when you were saying that, the perfect wave, you know, like those are beautiful places to be in. So, well, Sean, thank you so much for being on, taking your time, sharing with us your story, Bubs. Now, where can we find you guys?
Yeah. So, you know, on all your social media channels, it's just at Bubs Naturals. That's BUBSNATURALS. BubsNaturals.com for our website. We're on Amazon, Amazon's Choice, Amazon Prime, all the little Amazon things. But yeah, you know, our website's an easy one. Vitamin Shop, we're at Vitamin Shops nationwide, so you can definitely find us over there. And yeah, come find out about Bubs. Reach out. I want to hear from you. I want to hear how that experience is going. And you know, I always want to hear how we can do things better and different. And you know, that's that.
Awesome. And then I'll make sure I put links in the show notes to your social media. I'll put links to your website in there. So anybody who hasn't tried it, go out, try Bubs Collagen, try the various products. Your body's going to feel good. It's going to thank you for it. So again, man, thank you for being on. This has been a blessing.
Awesome, man. Me too. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been a fantastic conversation. Cheers.
Yeah, you bet. All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. You can do this by copying the link, share it on your social media, text it to someone, share by word of mouth. Also, give us a 5-star review on the platform that you listen to. All of these help grow the show, help spread the message, and our job and our goal is to be able to inspire as many people as possible and to add to their perspective. Thank you and many blessings.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.